to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Sunday, May the 15th, 2011, and I am humbly grateful that you chose to be with me as we take a look at, well, hopefully, some questions that are deeply meaningful to you. And I hope that you take the time to come to my little website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. We have, well, I didn't, believe it or not, I had nothing to do with it. We have a beautiful new website. I mean beautiful. And it has so many things on it that I think you might find helpful in your life. It's all about love, and it's all about the meaning of life. It's all about finding, well, maybe your own living in your life. Aspire means breath of spirit, and I try to offer that breath of spirit to you in many different ways on the website. So I hope you take the time to go and look at it. You can listen to past radio programs there. You can go and read my commentaries, watch my podcasts and video casts there. They're all there to be of service to you, and I hope you'll avail yourself of it. I have some dilly whopper of questions, and I saved these for a little while. They came in a couple of weeks ago, and I had other questions I had to take before it, but I'm really very grateful for those of you who come to the website at aspire.org and go to the media section, go to radio programs, and you can click right on the little Buddha that is typing on his computer. I consider you little Buddhas, and let me know what's on your mind, and maybe I can help you. I want you to understand this. My questions are not the definitive answers to anything, okay? My answers are merely what I have experienced so far. I do not want you to sit there like you would swallow everything a minister would say or a priest, even though I'm an ordained minister. I don't want you to sit there and swallow it all. I want you not to listen to me as doctrine or creed or philosophy. Just listen. You might find something there between the thoughts and between the words and spaces that serves you very well. And if you do that, if you can live in that, then something miraculous can happen. If you don't, then what can I say? I'm merely one more of those people that you think is shouting at you or talking at you, trying to convince you of something that really can't be convinced. You have to feel it in yourself. You have to catch Zen. You don't try to hold it. It's caught, not taught. First question comes from Terrence in San Diego. He says, where do I go after I die? Terrence, this is a ridiculous question for someone like me, but I'm choosing to answer it because I am ridiculous. Here's the deal. It is none of my business where we go when we die. And anyone who tells you they know based on the Bible is crazier than I am. I don't know where we go. It's not my concern. My concern is living in the present right now. My focus is on now, living as consciously and as compassionately, as playfully, and as insightfully as I can. If I am worried about where I go after I die, then none of my living can be conscious. It becomes pseudo. I start doing everything for a purpose and a reason. And it isn't about love. It can never be about love in that way. It can only be about desire, ambition, and pride. Where do we go after we die? This is something that really bothers people. Where do you go? Well, where are you now? Wherever you are now is where you will always be. How can you be anywhere else but where you are? And really, where you are is everywhere. The biggest problem that most of us have is that we confine our life to the body. And when I confine my living to my existence in the body, I ruin the experience of my whole entire life. People will tell me, oh, I think this, oh, I think that. Well, what does it matter what I think? Who cares what Gregory Penn thinks? Who cares? Even I don't care. And I have to live with him. What is important is not where we go after death, but where we are in our life. You are here for now, in this body, in this world. Of course, there are parts of us that are everywhere, but let's just, for the sake of argument, say that we are here and now. That is it. There is nothing more to be concerned about. And if I am living consciously here and now, if I am living in a sense of consciousness, then I come to a place of awakening, true, authentic awakening. You want life, Terrence, to make sense to you. You want a reason and a purpose for your living. This is why you are asking me this question. You think in asking me this question that somehow an answer will appear. It will not. It cannot, and it does not. There are no answers in life, Terrence, because there are no questions. I am the only one that is questioning my living. A seagull does not question his existence. The ocean does not question its existence. The mountains do not question their presence. The sky is the sky. It does not become confused because clouds go by it. The only person that becomes confused is Gregory and Terrence. We get confused because we have so many thoughts about what is right and wrong, so many thoughts about what is good and bad. Why do you want to know where you will go after you die? Are you trying to make sense of all of this? Is it come to that, to the place where you can only think in terms of making sense to yourself? If so, you have missed drastically the meaning and the significance of a lifetime. Don't you be worried about where you go, Terrence. Live here and now. Want nothing with all of your heart. Have a great sense of sacredness for your life. You and I cannot feel sacredness for our life when we are so busy thinking about what will happen after our worldly experience. How can I live sacredly? I would live for an idea, an ideal, and a purpose. I was reading the other day in the on the internet about some religions that think the Bible's infallible. Really. And that you should take every word of the Bible and make it gospel for your own life, a reality of your own life. People fall for this constantly. Human beings aren't very bright. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that the human is fallible. But what is not fallible is your heart. And if you ever get in touch, Terrence, with your heart and can get beyond the silly idea of your thoughts, you will come to a place where life becomes deeply sacred to you. Immensely beautiful. It will be all about kindness and realizing the intrinsic love that lives within you. And it is intrinsic. It has nothing to do with theory. You can do all the yoga postures you want. It won't change anything, Terrence. You can do all the reading you want. It won't change anything. If your motive for reading and doing yoga or meditating has in the background the idea of fulfilling some purpose, of getting somewhere in life, of doing something that will benefit you, you have ruined it and poisoned it already. And this is what our ego does. It poisons everything. To live consciously, To live as a consciousness means that I live as love. And I no longer let my life go down the tube by believing and thinking in things that just aren't a sense of direct experience. Live for those things, Terrence, that you can take with you through death. Not focusing on where you will go after you die. That is ridiculous. But live for those things you can take with you through death. Compassion, love, the intrinsic goodness of your being. Know that with all of your heart. Most people just don't do that. They live for what they want and not for the love that is them. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Carrie. I don't know where Carrie has found us. He doesn't say. But he does say he wants an answer. I'm afraid of the world, says Carrie. I'm afraid of my own shadow. I've been this way since a child. Is there any hope for me, Carrie? Yes, Carrie, of course there is. There's always hope for people who fear. That's what they live for, is the hope that their fear will be conquered. But they don't see that hope in conquering their fear is the fear itself. People do not realize this. They look at what they hope for as an answer to what they fear, what they are experiencing. But the sad part is that the cure is the illness. You say, I'm afraid of the world. The world is a scary place, I understand. It's filled with treachery and misunderstanding and logic and reasoning and all sorts of things that don't pertain to the meaning of a significant life. But why be afraid? What part of you is afraid? People come to me and they realize their life is in a shamble. And they come to me and try to get me to help them with it, to make it more orderly or make sense out of it. And when I show them that that can't be done, that the logic and reasoning of their own fears has shaped and molded every thought they have and created a philosophy about their life and a philosophy about themselves, they suddenly realize they don't want to give that up. Now, Carrie, listen to me if you can, wherever you are, my dear. Listen. You can't cure your illness with another illness. The mind is a disease. Thinking is the disease of the mind. The mind has become my disease in my life. If I do not work upon myself through compassion, meditation, if I do not allow myself the honor and the privilege of knowing what exists beyond my thoughts, I will never know the meaning of my own existence, and hence I will be afraid of the world. The world is whatever I live from within me. It is not the circumstances and the conditions of the outer. It is not the culture and the society, the politics you see around you. The world is wherever you are living from within yourself. And if you are living in fear and hate, if you are living in anger, if you are living in the neglect of your own heart and soul, that will be your life. As long as you live in your life in this way, you will live absent from your own living, and that will cause you to live very, very miserably in your life. You say, I am afraid of my own shadow. The shadow in you, what is it? Well, it's your philosophy. It's my belief is my shadow. Anything I believe in is the shadow part of me. And why do I create a belief? Because I want that belief to serve a purpose in my life, to give me logic, reasoning, maybe even an excuse for my unkindness, my my inner disability, as I like to call it, with myself. If I continue to live in that way, I continue to live very absent of who and what I am. You know what the most painful thing in life is? The most painful thing is to live in an assumption of myself while I live absent from my heart. This is a very, very profound illness. Don't be afraid of them, as Jesus said, that can take your life and cast you away out of the body. Jesus said, be very, very aware. Be very, very insightful of those who can cast you into hell. Hell is what you believe in. Hell is what you think. Hell has become your mind and your body and your emotions when fear is more important to you than love. I can provoke you, Carrie, to fear, but I can never provoke people to love. I have tried. I have shown them acts of kindness and generosity, and they cannot deal with it. I have offered to them forgiveness and love, and they do not want it. Most people are going down the drain very quickly because they're so attached to the idea of the world being love. The world is not love. It is not here to support what I think of as love. The world is here to offer me a chance to become a diamond, something immensely beautiful. And every trial and tribulation that you and I have is not about being punished or going to hell. It is about whether or not I gave love to a situation that was most unlovable. I say, let love live you, Carrie. Find love, not the human love, not the arrogant love, not the egotistical love. Let the real love, the love of you, unfold inside you. Want love more than wanting what you think is love, and you have found the meaning of your life. Please forgive me, hey? Namaste. Great question. Last question comes from Bob. I don't know where Bob lives either. He just says he listens to the radio via my website at aspire.org. And he says, I am full of ego. I like my thoughts. Is there anything wrong with that? Can I practice meditation as I am, Bob? Well, you can go through the motions of meditation. Certainly. You can sit down and have the correct posture and know the correct maybe breath patterns to use. Yes, you can, in a certain kind of way, mechanically, do that. No big deal. But can you meditate? I doubt it. I highly doubt it. But I like you. I like you a lot, and I'll tell you why. I use your opening sentence as the one that got me. I'm full of ego. There must be a very sweet and tender part of you that admitted that. Because a person who is absolutely full of ego can't say they're full of ego. You must have a very beautiful side to you that is beyond your pride, your vanity, and your ego. You must have a part of you that exists beyond thought itself even, your own cherished thoughts. Something leaked out of you as your hands touched the keyboard, and you got to see something magnificent, just for a moment. Now, if you can, Bob, apply yourself to that. If you can apply yourself to the compassionate side of you that is beyond your ego, that allowed you to admit your ego, then you have done something miraculous with your life. And this question is not in vain at all. But if you are proud of your ego, and you are telling me this, to show me how powerful you are or how impossible you've become, then that is another story. But by the feel of your email, the gist and gesture of your words, I get the feeling there's a part of you that is drowning and wants to be saved. I cannot save you. You can save you, though. You say you like your thoughts. Well, don't like them or dislike them. Why not experiment a little bit with yourself? Instead of you liking your thoughts, have no opinion about liking them or disliking them. Just let your thoughts be there. And do not like them or dislike them. Do not give them consent or no consent. Just let them sit there and watch. As you observe this, you're going to see something very interesting occurring. The thing that will occur that is most interesting is that when you are not denying your thoughts or affirming them, they suddenly start to take on another texture and tone. And then you can start realizing instead of thinking. Thinking only shows my misery and my ignorance, but realizing happens when I am no longer confronting my thoughts, condoning my thoughts, or hating my thoughts, condemning them. Once I am no longer interested in that, that is when something miraculous begins to happen within me. Now, you can start meditating. In fact, that is the beginning of great meditation in you. Be interested in that which your mind cannot hold through thought. Be interested in that which exists within you beyond your desires and reasoning. Just watch. You don't have to do anything but observe, non-critically, non-judgmentally. And if you do that, if you are willing to do that, oh my, a great change, a great beauty will start to happen, and you will find the presence of yourself in your own life. Yes, the presence of a great you as love, not as thought, not as reasoning, not as belief. Just you as the presence of a great love within you. And a great goodness will start to occur, a great beauty. I call it the intrinsic. You are intrinsically beautiful. And isn't that what you're really asking me? I think it is. I think. Get it? Please forgive me. Namaste. Great question, Bob. You must be fun to be around. If you have a comment or question, something I might be of service to you with, I would be honored to have you come to my beautiful new website at aspire.org. If you go to the media section there and pull it down, you will see radio program. Just click on that and you can listen to old radio programs. But more importantly, you'll see a little Buddha there typing on his computer, and you are my Buddha. And maybe you'll type me a question, something that might serve humankind that's on your mind, too. Because typically, whatever's on your mind's on everybody's mind. I have a wonderful, beautiful new series of discourses that you will definitely want. They're on the Beatitudes. I am shocked that most people do not know what the Beatitudes are. They know Jesus. They know. They watch him hang on a cross every Easter. We did it last month. And the whole idea of resurrection and all that. But you know what really shocks me is most people have no idea whatsoever as to what the meaning of what he was teaching. Unbelievable to me. You go to church and you don't hear these teachings. And what blessed are the meek? Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You don't know what these things mean, and no one explains them to you. And why don't you look at them and listen to them and garner great insight? In my new series on the Beatitudes, I don't offer you religion or philosophy. I offer you the Zen of it all, the direct experience of the Beatitudes. And if you're interested, I hope you will go to the website at aspire.org, go to the catalog section that is there, and you pull it down and you will see discourses, and there pops up the Beatitudes. And I think you will find them to be more than worth it. To order. You can order them safely and securely through the website, or you can call me. I'm sitting by the phone right now, 831-622-8410. That's 831-622-8410. I'd be very, very honored for you to order them, and I really feel you will love them. I took great care in making them for you. For those of you who are sponsors of this radio program and sponsors of my TV program, you are going to receive very soon The Sound of One Hand Clapping, my four-disc set with all eight discourses on The Sound of One Hand Clapping. This is going to be one of the most unique series I've ever offered. We have totally revamped the Spire, upgraded it, made it the way I've always wanted it to be. And when it shows down in San Diego, I think you're going to get a big kick out of it. Anyway, if you would like to take a look at these CDs, and you would like to maybe consider getting them, please go to the website at aspire.org. And there you will see TV programs, TV series, and just click on it. You can learn more about it. There's a little video about it that I made. And I think you will find this beautiful series, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, deeply significant. I'm out of here. We'll be back on the air next Saturday and Sunday at 9:04. I hope you will join me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.